Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome to the fire.
Welcome to the fire, boys. My name is Parker McDonald.
And I'm Walter Lee, and we'll be your hosts on this episode of the Southern Collective Hunting Podcast. If you're a new hunter trying to learn the basics,
or you're a veteran woodsman just trying to get through your workday, there's always a place at our campfire for you.
Speaking of the fire, we would love it if you guys would join our growing Patreon community and be a part of the best and only digital deer camp south of Mason-Dixon Line.
Come on. If you'd like to learn more, click on the link in the show notes. But for now, Walt,
welcome to the fire. Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the Live from the Fire series. Today we're recapping a successful youth weekend up here in Tennessee. I was able to hunt with a good friend, Adam Cruz, and his son Luke. And this is the second year I've hunted with him. I got to hunt with him last year, and we actually got Luke's first bird youth weekend last year. And this year we went to the same property as we did last year. It was on some public, and there, let me tell y'all, there's some excellent hunting on public during youth weekend. The pressure just isn't as crazy as it is during the statewide season. It's still busy. I mean, you'll see a truck at the trailheads, but you just have a minimal chance of people walking in on you. You know, they got kids with them, so they don't want their kids walking in on other people, and they just want to, you know, have an area to themselves. So it's what public hunting is really supposed to be. We heard a lot of birds, and we had a lot of action, and not as much human pressure as you would during regular season. So if you're hesitant about going out on public during youth weekend, I highly encourage it. But anyway, we'll get rolling here. We started Saturday off at actually the same trailhead as we hunted last year and where we got Luke's bird. And I heard a lot of birds around there while I was listening during the couple of mornings that I went and scouted before this hunt this year. And so we walked down the trailhead just a little ways and quickly heard a bird that was pretty close, but we couldn't exactly tell what side of a holler he was on. It sounded like he was kind of down low, and looking back, he might have been just roosted with some hens down there. And so we kind of thought he was on one side, then he thought he was on the other side, and we made a couple trips around the tail end of this holler before we finally confirmed where he was and got set up. And he gobbled off and on, but not that consistently. He only gobbled a couple times while we were set up, and he sounded further and further away each time he gobbled. So that again told me he probably had some hens with him. So after a few minutes, we got up, found another gobbler we had heard from a distance while we were set up that first time. Went down the ridge that we thought he was on, and we struck him with the honeycomb copper pot call. birds down in Florida really like that call, and it's turning out that the birds up here in Tennessee are kind of loving it too. He gobbled once at that pot call. He sounded about a little less than 200 yards away, up on the same level, right up on top of the ridge where we were at. And we thought that since he was alone up, you know, up on top of that ridge, or we thought since he was up on top of that ridge, you know, mid-morning and gobbling, that he might have been alone and not have hens with him. But he never gobbled again after that initial strike. And then the woods got quiet. And after about 30 minutes or so, maybe an hour, we stepped out, grabbed a late breakfast, early lunch, and then we came back to a different spot on the WMA. It was another spot I had heard a few turkeys a couple days before when I went out listening, and got out of the truck, and not 100 yards from the truck, we bumped a hen off of a power line. And she might have been nesting or looking for a nest or whatever, but there was some reason she was in this real growed up power line. So we assumed it was nest related. And then we walked maybe another 100 yards and we heard footsteps in the leaves off to our right. And I looked over, I saw a red male turkey head just kind of bobbing over the rise. And we just squatted down in the road and creeped off to the side up against this big log and tried to call a little bit. And we heard some drumming super close. It was probably less than 30 yards away, but with the terrain and the logs and the brush and everything else, we never saw the strutter. So after a while, after we kind of confirmed that they had moved off, we got up, walked maybe another couple hundred yards, heard the drumming again, and again we hit the dirt right in the middle of the road. And we kind of just sat there, heard the drumming. I kept trying to call just a little bit, see if I could peek whatever's interest to kind of come up to the edge of the road and give Luke a shot. But it never happened, and eventually we kind of just figured, well, Luke's got to crawl up there to this stump that was right there. If he can get up to that stump, he should be able to see down in that holler and potentially get a shot off and just get eyes on turkeys. So Luke and Adam crawled up to the stump, and I stayed behind to mask their movements with, you know, scratching in the leaves and some calling or whatever. Well, they made it up to the stump, saw a couple turkeys, but couldn't confirm which one was a gobbler or if there was even a gobbler right there at the time. There was so much brush, you know, the shadows, everything. It was just hard to confirm identities of the turkeys. And after several minutes, they just kind of moved off. They fed through the leaves and kind of just moved off. But after a few minutes more, they came back. And this time, Adam could see the top of the back and also the fan of the strutter coming through there. And he motioned back to me to just call to get the turkey to stick his head up. And I called, and turkey stuck his head up. Luke shot. But again, there's so much brush. And if there hadn't been brush there, the turkey was well within killing range. But there was just so much junk in the way. It ate up a lot of that pattern. And turkey ran off, I mean, full speed, just left out of there. So he survived another day. And after that, we kind of just called it quits after day one. We'd put in a good hard day. It was mid-afternoon, starting to get warm. So we just called it. Day two, we started at that exact same spot. I had heard some at the end of this ridge while I was listening earlier in that week, so we decided to just start there and kind of go down there and see if we could hear something on the ridge. But we didn't hear anything on our ridge. We heard a couple over on private, and we heard another one on public that was just, you know, the next ridge over. So we backed out and went on over to that ridge to try to get on that gobbler. Well, as we were getting out of the truck to go after this new gobbler, we heard another one right across the road, just lighting it up, burning the woods down, gobbling his head off. So we quickly decided to go after the hot gobbler and abandon this other gobbler that had gone quiet. So we jumped back into the truck, went down to the next pull-in, and walked in and got down to a finger ridge that we thought would get us pretty close to him. And then we heard him gobble about, I don't know, he's about a few hundred yards away, maybe 300 yards away, at the end of this ridge. And so we started creeping up there a little bit. And then we heard two more gobblers on the other side of the holler, and they were starting to get pretty hot. They were gobbling pretty often, but they were a little farther away than this original gobbler. But after a couple of minutes, I mean, we were sitting there listening to three turkeys gobble in two different locations, and we were smack dab in the middle of them. And so we basically just decided we were just going to sit down, set up, call a little bit, and see what happens. And after several minutes, the original gobbler that we were going after, he went silent. I don't know what happened. I guess he got down in that holler, found a hen. I don't know what happened. He disappeared. But the other two, they stayed pretty hot. I mean, they were gobbling pretty steady. And so after about 30 minutes, they finally sounded like they got closer. Maybe they closed about 100 yards or so from where they were at. And then they went silent for about another 20 or 30 minutes. And then the next time they gobbled, they sounded just over 100 yards away. And then the woods got quiet. So I was expecting, you know, turkeys just pop up over the edge of this ridge just any time. I was listening for footsteps. I was listening for drumming, but I never heard that. And so about 20 minutes or so go by. And at this point, I'm kind of wondering if a hen come by, picked them up, they lost interest, peeked over, saw us move and left. I don't know. I was just kind of running through all these different scenarios in my head. And in between them gobbling, you know, every 10 minutes or so, I would just scratching leaves, do that soft calling, feed calling, just whatever, just a little bit of stuff, mostly just to kill time, you know. If you're going to call it turkeys, you might as well just sound like a feeding turkey, I guess, if you don't have anything else to do. And then while I was thinking about what had happened to these turkeys and really what to do next, I hear walking in the leaves way off to our right, kind of over at the edge of the ridge, kind of back behind us. And I ease my head over in that direction. And after a few seconds, I see a red head bobbing through there. And then I see black feathers on a big old body. And I knew it had to been a gobbler. And then I heard a second set of footsteps. And right then I was confident that it was the two gobblers that had circled around our setup. They had circled way around it. I don't know where they had crossed the ridge. I never heard them cross the ridge. And I didn't hear them until they were within gun range. And so I told Adam, he was up there sitting next to Luke, maybe a couple yards in front of me. I said, gobbler on the right. And Luke was able to adjust and kind of ease around to the right and get his gun pointed towards this gobbler. And I honestly think it was his movement that stopped that gobbler before he got out of sight over the ridge. I think if we were just set still, the turkey probably would have seen us, but would have just kept moving. But I think the fact that Luke had moved a little bit just made the gobbler stop and just made him curious about what that was, 40-something yards away. And so while the turkey had stopped to look at Luke, Luke fired. Now, this next part's pretty funny. So Adam and Luke jump up after Luke shoots. I jump up. Look over there to where the turkey was standing, and I see a gobbler standing there close to where Luke had shot. I did not see a turkey on the ground, and apparently Adam didn't either. And he told Luke to shoot again. Luke shoots again. And at this point, the standing turkey was then running away, and Adam tells him to shoot one more time, and Luke shoots again, and then the turkey flies away. It flies across the holler out of our lives forever. And so we walk up just a few more steps, and then we see a dead gobbler flopping around on the ground. And Adam, you know, jumps on him, gets him secured, and we then try to piece together what exactly had happened. Well, apparently, you know, Luke killed the gobbler on his first shot. You know, the original gobbler that I saw anyway. Luke killed him. Adam didn't see the bird go down and originally had immediately thought Luke had missed. So he told Luke to keep shooting the bird, you know, that we saw standing there. And Luke, being the good son that he is, listened to his dad. But Luke could see the down turkey, which was flopping. So Luke just assumed that his dad wanted him to keep shooting this flopping turkey. And so he kept shooting at the head of this turkey and not the standing turkey that we saw that ended up running and flying away. So that was actually pretty funny. You know, Luke was doing what his dad was telling him to do, but it was just a break in communication. I don't really know, a mistake in communication. But all's well. And, you know, we kind of thought that Adam had kind of thought that Luke had shot a second turkey or whatever. And I don't know, it was kind of just pandemonium there for a few seconds until we figured out, you know, Luke's side of the story. But it was a big turkey, too. It was a beautiful, beautiful big old turkey. Had 11-inch beard on it. He was gorgeous. And I'll tell you, patience is what killed that bird. And Luke got a really good lesson of it that morning. Like I said before, those two lone gobblers, it gave me a little bit of hope that turkeys might start acting right. It seems like they've been behind this past week, hoping hens start nesting and they leave some lonely gobblers roaming around in the woods in time for statewide season to open. But on the other hand, those two birds could just be subordinate birds that never had hens to begin with that day. And that's why they were so hot most of the morning. But we're supposed to get a lot of rain this week, and there's no telling what that's going to do to turkeys by opening day around here. I'm going to be taking my best friend's son on opening morning. So hopefully I'll have another one or two of these episodes to release next week after some successful hunts. Appreciate y'all listening. If you're not a part of our Patreon, I strongly encourage it. Check it out so you can kind of keep up with everybody's season as it happens real time. And in between hunts, we still have a good time on there talking about a little bit of everything. And it's going to be that time. I have a really strong feeling there's going to be a lot of turkeys die here in the next few weeks. That mid to late April time frame, it's getting ripe, boys and girls. So y'all get out there and get after them. Thanks again for listening. Good luck to everybody this spring.